Welcome to WP Coffee Talk, and this next episode, it's almost the new year. Of course, it'll be a couple months before this actually hits the air, because I have so many people that I've recorded with, and it's such a blessing, but you are my last recording of 2019.
Of the decade.
How do you like that?
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. So I'm here today with Greg Taylor, and Greg, you and I are in the same time zone, and much the same climate, too.
Right, exactly.
You're outside of Philly, I'm right outside of Rochester, New York, and we get hit with snow and we get hit with ice. And today it was 45 degrees, so I didn't even wear a coat to work, so I really can't complain.
Yeah, you know, I was walking down my street today and it was raining, and it was raining sideways. And I was trying to shield my face, but it was coming and hitting me from the side. First time I really had rain hit me in the cheek.
That's a little different. Yeah, that must be the wind. It was probably pretty windy too then.
Really windy here outside Philadelphia, yes.
Well, thanks so much for being here with me today. And I always tell people how we met. And sometimes I'm just meeting somebody for the first time and I've, you know, got something through my website. And you and I were just talking before we started recording about the fact that we have actually multiple paths. Yep. And people in common. So you've worked with Give, you know, the Give team. And of course I work at Give. And then we've been tweeting and on the same, some of the same Twitter threads, and I'm sure we've like been part of the same Facebook groups and things like that. So it's nice to actually have an opportunity to talk to you in real time.
Yeah. Likewise.
Just through Twitter.
It's always interesting how people from the WordPress community, how their paths, you know, intersect and cross. And sometimes they don't really intersect. They come close to crossing. And it's typically because of, maybe it's you know, in our case, it's, you know, that, you know, my company, Trinity Web Media, uses the Give plugin for all of our nonprofit campaigns. And then sometimes it's mutual friends, and sometimes it's speaking engagements, and sometimes it's a good Twitter thread, and who knows?
I was just going to say, sometimes it's just a hashtag, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Sometimes maybe it's even over coffee, right?
That's right. No, I'm not drinking coffee tonight, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
It's after 5. I got to cut the caffeine at some point. But tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So my name, again, Greg Taylor. I'm co-founder of Trinity Web Media. And we're located here in New Jersey and Pennsylvania area. And what we do is we are a digital marketing company that pretty much bases all of our strategies and our content marketing initiatives around WordPress. You know, WordPress is the hub for everything that we do. And the reason being is way back when I first started out on my own, I've been working with WordPress since the Tiner release, which is 2.6 in August of 2008. So, and what happened was I started a content marketing company because my passion is content and marketing. So I started a content marketing company. And what happened was we were launching all these content initiatives and all these really good strategies on websites that were just terrible, or they're hard to update, or they're hard to manage. So then my then partner at the time said, well, why don't we just dive into WordPress? Mm-hmm. And we've been on the WordPress continuum ever since.
That's so awesome.
Again, you know, the other things that we do is we do a lot of media production and Trinity Web Media. We also have our own podcast called The New Marketing Show. So it keeps us extremely busy. You know, we like to say Trinity Web Media, we pride ourselves on solving business problems using WordPress. You know, WordPress is the tool that we use and the biggest part of our toolbox. But what we really focus on is solving real world business or organization problems. And WordPress is the vehicle that we do it with.
I love that. That's great. Show me, I always say, show me your mug. So you told me you don't have a mug.
I don't have
something.
A mug.
That's okay. Show me what you got.
I have a pint glass. I have some La Colombe cold brew. It's a Yingling 5K pint glass here. So cheers, everybody. La Colombe, local coffee here to Philadelphia. So if you're from the area, awesome.
I've never heard of them. I'm sorry. But I have a brand new mug. I'm drinking hot tea, and it's an herbal tea. And it's got, I've talked about it before. It's got, I just forgot what it's a turmeric. It's a turmeric and honey tea, which is really good for our joints and things like that. Mm-hmm. Some of the problems that I deal with. But this mug is brand new for, I got it as a Christmas gift.
Nice.
And you'll see the first panel is blank. It's one of my Wonder Woman collection. Because when you fill it with hot water, she disappears as being Diana Prince. and she reappears as Wonder Woman. So as it cools down, Wonder Woman will disappear again and Diana Prince will reappear. So
that's awesome. The only thing that will happen magically in my pint glass is the more that I drink this, the liquid will disappear. That's it. So, that's about it.
It's magical. It's magical. It's magical. It's
magical. One of those mysteries.
So tell us, how did you get started with WordPress? You gave us a little bit about, you know, how you made a decision as a company to pursue WordPress, but how did WordPress and you become a thing?
You know, I've always been passionate about, well, okay. I've always felt like I was a content creator, right? All of my life. Now, I didn't realize that a content creator was like a term of like somebody, you know, or a creative or anything like that, you know, until I was pretty much out of college, you know? So I've always been passionate about creating things. Maybe it's music or maybe photography or things like that, you know? And I've always felt like I had something to say and I didn't have a place to say it. You know, this goes right in, you know, falls right in line with Matt's, you know, democratizing publishing. You know, it goes, what happened was I needed a place. I had all these thoughts or photos or paintings or whatever, you know, trips I wanted to remember, you know, maybe like, I don't want to say journaling, but maybe higher level journaling, which morphed into blogging, you know, when we all had personal blogs. And if anybody finds my first personal blog out there, I would be so mortified. It had the best name ever, but I'll never tell anybody the name because then they'll be able to find it and then they'll embarrass me. But I felt like I had something to say, and WordPress was the tool that gave me the voice to go out there, and it was easy to use, you know, not as easy as today, but I mean, it was easy to use. It was easy to get something out there, at least, you know, from an archive post standpoint. Mm-hmm. So that's how I started with WordPress. And then from there, you know, like I said, my business story, you know, we wanted to do a lot of content strategies when content was just starting, when everybody was like content marketing. And now it's, you know, back then, if we talked about content marketing, it was like, what are you talking about? What is that? You know, but now, I mean, everybody, if they don't have a good content initiative, they're really being left behind. So again, you know, WordPress was the tool that gave me the voice, which allowed me to do what I wanted to do creatively. And I've been blessed enough to actually make that, you know, into a career with my company.
That's awesome. When you look across, you know, all the different websites that you come across on a daily basis, what's something that you think that we as developers, designers, you know, web creators, what's something that we don't focus enough attention on that would make our sites better for the end user?
I think that, I think that a lot of people don't begin with the end in mind, with any type of goal. And I always say, like, you know, when we're creating websites, there's only three goals that you can accomplish. And like, there'll be other like goals that'll fall into the bucket, but I think that it's, you know, publishing content to demonstrate your subject matter expertise and to be visible for search. It's to create a community around your product, service, or brand, or it's conversion. You know, I think that when we begin, a lot of times people don't pay enough attention to what do they want to do. And it's okay if it's okay because sometimes we don't know what we want to do, and we sort of let it evolve organically. But, you know, every time I do speak at a WordCamp, you know, I will throw that out there, and some inevitably, so I've gotten good over the years to know that the question is coming. So I'll kind of bait the audience into asking, and I'll say, did I leave any goals out? And inevitably somebody will always raise their hand and say, making money is my goal. Yeah. Oh, I've been doing this long enough. I know that it's coming. So now I always say generating revenue isn't a goal. It's a byproduct of meeting your goals. Mm. So, I mean, then we start to position, and then it's kind of like, you know, an aha moment where everybody's like, oh, okay, I start getting. So I think that a lot of times we don't understand our goals. And then if you don't understand your goals, then mistake two comes quickly. Because like, if you're trying to create a community, you know, the best thing to do to create a community is to tell your story.
Right.
Because if you tell your story, you're going to find other like people who could tap into your story. You know, your story could be so obscure. You want to create a very niche community, But if you're able to tell that story, you're going to find somebody who's into the same niche. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we do is when we start to understand what we're doing and why we're doing things, then we can start to say, okay, this strategy falls in line. Like if we want to go ahead and, you know, you want to have great content if you want to rank well, if you want your search visibility to be good, if you want great conversion, you have to have good UX and great design elements. So I think that a lot of people shoot themselves in the foot by not understanding what they're really doing.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. That makes a lot of sense, actually, because everything else follows, right? So everything else follows. How you set up your architecture of your site, everything follows starting with the end in mind. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's something that you wish? I know you were an early adopter, so you got to think, you know, a little bit further back. But what's something that you wish you'd known earlier in your WordPress journey that you've learned since that might have made life a little easier?
So I think there's a couple answers to that. I think that one is don't be afraid to try new things. Don't mm-hmm. be afraid to, you know, to pioneer something. Don't be afraid to take a path and stand up for something. Don't be afraid to stand out. I think that a lot of people want to play it very, very safe, when they're getting their feet wet in anything, and which is fine. I totally understand it. But like when it comes to WordPress, really, it's unless you do something that's like so far removed from like out of your comfort zone, right? Let's say you're in like a plugin editor messing around with PHP and things like, you know, like it. Yeah. Look, if you open up WordPress and you go to dashboard and you find yourself in the plugin editor and in those files, okay, you've really had to do some digging around to get yeah. there, right?
True. Yes.
So I think that a lot of people are afraid that they're going to make a mistake and they're going to blow their site up. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, no, you really can't mess anything up too bad. Right. You know, so I mean, I think that in the beginning, I would have pressed publish more mm-hmm. and just said, okay, here we go. Let's press publish. Later on, as became more and more entrenched in the development world, I think that I would have adopted better practices mm-hmm. for my team, you know, and better workflows, making sure that I had the safety nets in place. You know, the days of cowboy coding are long, long gone. But, you know, there's an embarrassing time where we were in the process of putting things together, you know, using a text mm-hmm. editor and GitHub and making sure and staging sites and all of that.
Yeah. But
I made some mistakes and I was like, I remember once I installed WordPress in the wrong directory and it wiped out my whole dev server.
Overwrote everything.
And it was one of those moments. And I worked with a great group of guys in Chandler, Arizona. And all they would say, they looked at me and they're like, dude, GitHub, why are you not? I'm like, I know.
So, versioning,
you know, all of that stuff. And I mean, I think that I would have adopted and adhered to a stricter process when it mm-hmm. came to backups. You know, I always tell my clients that a 30-second backup is going to save you so much headache.
So much heartache. So much headache.
Heartache. That's the other one I say. Heartache and time, all of that yeah. stuff. You know, yeah. I was fortunate enough that my host had a backup of everything that could restore my server about 4 hours. And I was like, yeah. 4 hours? Are you kidding me? That's forever. They're like, you did this. I'm like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, okay, I get it. Yeah, my bad. But I think that I would have done some of that. In the beginning, though, as I was learning to use WordPress, I just would have, you know, I would have been a little bit more at ease and just press publish more. Just press publish, you know, and not be so afraid of what was going to mm-hmm. happen.
Yeah. So. I like that. I think when I learned, I don't know which version of WordPress implemented the versions of pages and posts so that you could like compare and whatever.
Yep.
But when I realized that was there, I was like, oh, now if I yeah. overwrite content, I can still go back and see what the old content was.
Yeah. And
love it.
Imagine that. I mean, like, and the auto saving and all mm-hmm. of the, you know, I remember the first time, I remember when, God, it was a big release. I want to say it was 4 was released and there were a lot of changes going on. I mean, 5 was huge, but like right. 4 was huge at the time because
right.
WordPress sort of was just, you know, from where I started at 2.6 on and on and on and on. It was just getting better and better and better and better and better. Mm-hmm. And then 4 came and it was like, okay, these are big changes. People, and big changes, people freak out, right? And I remember, you know, actually seeing Matt at WordCamp San Francisco doing a State of the Word and just talking that through. And he was almost calming everybody down. You know, like, it's going to be, it's all right. These need to happen in order for us mm-hmm. to move forward.
Right.
And it's always interesting when technology does that and people are so stuck, you know, nobody likes change.
No.
Right. I mean, right. I don't like change. You know, I get stuck in my ways, but change makes us all better.
Right. We're not driving Model T Fords anymore.
Exactly. I mean, like the famous Henry Ford quote, you know, if I asked the people what they wanted, they would have told me faster horses.
Right.
You know, and that's so true.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, the revision control when it came to posts and pages,
yeah,
that was huge. That was a
absolutely
huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I absolutely mm-hmm. do, because I have been, it saved my hide more than once.
Oh, exactly. And it's not just one revision. You can go back as many as you have saved, you know,
exactly.
unless you clean out the database, you optimize the database.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I tend not to do too often because I want to be able to look back and see what's there.
we try to do that every once in a while because we'll have clients that'll yeah. go in there and like get nervous and they'll save every. I'm like, it's going to auto-save
right.
every. It's going to auto-save for you. But yeah. no, I'm going to save it. And then all of a sudden the database blows up because it's
sure.
Every yeah. little thing is saved. So.
Yeah. It's like people who only save their backups, their automatic backups to their server.
Oh, yeah.
And so every time the site backs up, it's backing up every previous version
yeah.
as well. And then you just have no idea.
Yeah, it's like compounded know? Interest only for files. It just gets, you know, a 100 megabyte site, you know, if there is a thing anymore, ends up being a gig because they have 100 backups.
Exactly. Exactly. I made the mistake of forgetting to un-Bluetooth me here. And I just suddenly got a phone call. So I apologize for that. 1 second. Suddenly I was hearing Jesus Christ Superstar through my headphones.
Nice.
And not you. I mean, it's a good music, but I get to hear that anytime I want and here
right,
you are.
You
so
awesome.
Sorry about that.
No
I have a checklist I go through and I skipped that one apparently.
No problem.
Anyway, let's move on.
We had a version of our podcast that got recorded, and it was me and my partner. I'm a host. He's a host. We had a guest on, and we got through a 45-minute interview, only to realize his track didn't pick up.
Oh,
like,
no.
He was asking questions, and I couldn't have this guy do this interview again. So my partner, Kevin, I said, we got to figure this out. And Kevin went in there and figured it out. What question he asked when, and he went in there and we just edited it all together.
Like, dump it all in. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I definitely
it happens.
Yeah.
I try not to do that kind of thing, but you know, I've been away for over a week, not on a computer, not on anything. And
on
here we are
you.
And you know, whatever. I'm human.
Yeah. Hey, no worries.
When you think back over all the different, I know you've been to a lot of different WordCamps, you've spoken at WordCamps, meetups, et cetera. Think back over all of those. Was there a pivotal moment, something that was truly inspirational to you, whether it was a person you talked to, somebody you heard, something you said, you know, any of that kind of thing. And what was it and how did it impact you?
Yeah, I think that, like I just mentioned, the first time I heard Matt do a State of the Word at WordCamp San Francisco, because at the time, you know, WordCamp San Francisco was...
Yeah.
What WordCamp US has kind of evolved into, right? Everybody came all over the place to go to San Francisco, Automatics headquarters, you know, and it was guaranteed Matt Mullenweg was going to be there. And
right.
the first time that I heard him, and I got to speak, and I had met him a couple times before in Phoenix, a couple of smaller conferences that he was at. But the first time I heard him speak always sticks out to me. Another time, another one of the talks that always stands out to me is, I think it was 2012, a gentleman named Ward Andrews from Draw Backwards did a fantastic presentation that we use today, some of the ideology, at WordCamp Phoenix, and it was called The Blank Page, and how you can't be creative ever unless you have a set of constraints around you. So it was about how constraints stimulate creativity. Mm-hmm. So I think that was one of the most brilliant ones. And, you know, Ward's cool. Brilliant UX guy, and mm-hmm. just all the examples he was able to use and cite, you know, from Disney to ESPN and all this other Star Wars, like all the, how this stuff actually came about because people had constraints.
That's, you know, really cool. Actually.
Yeah. Of course, you know, and then the first time I spoke was 2010, I believe, WordCamp LA. My friend Austin Passy, Frosty, asked me to come in and speak, and me and another friend of mine flew in, and I was able to speak, and man, I was nervous. I was so nervous, but I got through it. And ever since then, you know, I've been speaking at WordCamps whenever the opportunity arises. I don't do it as often as I once did. Mm-hmm. Only because there's a lot of things behind that too. Like, you know, people don't realize, like, for me to go somewhere and speak, it could cost me a couple thousand dollars easily. Mm-hmm. You know, and over the history of my career, there hasn't always been a travel budget. There hasn't always been a marketing budget, especially when you're starting out. Mm-hmm. So I love, you know, that was one of the things that I was always passionate about, WordCamp, and always, you know, thank the organizers, thank the volunteers, and thank the other speakers for being there, because without them being there, I didn't have a platform to speak either. So, that's, I mean, those are the things that really stick out in my mind.
Yeah. I don't know that everybody realizes that WordCamp speakers are self-funded, either their companies or out of their own pocket, but WordCamp and WordPress doesn't pay for speakers to be there, not even for WordCamp US.
Right.
And so in order to hear those people, they have made that commitment.
Yep.
And that's what's why it's sometimes disappointing if you're speaking and there's not very many people in the room. So
yeah, and it's one of those things, like, you know, I've gotten used to, I really enjoy speaking on Sundays now, you know, because I think that, and at first, you know, I'll be honest with you, the first time I was like, okay, well, you're going to speak on Sunday, I was a little bit of a hit to the ego because Saturday's the main day, right?
Right. But
then, you know, I started doing it, and then I would request speaking on Sunday, because if you're there on a Sunday, especially for the things that I speak about, like content marketing and the business of WordPress and things like that, if you're there on a Sunday, you are highly engaged. You really want to learn. Like, those people are excellent, awesome audience members. And I don't think that Sundays and developer days, you know, all that stuff get enough shine as they probably should, only because, again, Saturday is the marquee day, you know, I think it's amazing. And, you know, credit to all the amazing speakers that I've seen, that I've learned from, how to do public speaking from, you know, and all the conversations that we've had in the back room, or maybe speaker dinner, or having lunch together and becoming friends over that stuff, you know, is really awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love WordCamps. I think people know that about me, though. I organize them. I attend them. I speak as often as I possibly can. I think in the 5 years that I've been doing camps, I've spoken at about 37 talks.
Wow.
So I just, I drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago.
That's amazing. I mean, like, without people, you know, who are willing to go, I mean, and a lot of times you see a lot of people traveling far to go to a camp. And I know people who go, a word camp on like 3 consecutive weeks. Because that's how they're scheduled sometimes, you know, you can't pick, you know, the schedule is sometimes very quirky, you know, and it's like, oh, well, okay. You know, maybe it's Rochester, Nashville, and Portland. Okay. Well, here we go. And after a while, that expense adds up. So everybody out there who is dedicated doing that, I definitely thank them for bettering our community.
Yeah. That's actually a really great shout out to all those people. So, we talked a little bit about what your business does. Why don't, instead of talking more about what your business does, since we know that you're in the content and you're media and that kind of thing, why don't you tell us a little bit about what advice you give as around content marketing and content development?
Yeah. So, you know, back in the beginning, content was just the written word, you know, and it was articles and it was blog posts. And I never called them articles. I never called them blog posts. Because I felt like that just kind of diminished the information that's going out there, that these are well thought out, highly planned, intellectual, you know, intelligent articles. You know?
Yeah.
So I, in the beginning, it was just articles. And now content is everything from, you know, podcasts to photos, video, all that. So what I try to do with our clients is I try to tell them where are you comfortable? You know, what voice? You know, each one of these mediums have their own audience built in. They all have their own, you know, set of goals and you know, business indicators. So what we try to do is we try to advise people to have a healthy mix of it. You know, video is a great way to get a brand personality out there, especially if somebody is comfortable doing the video. You know, that's always the hard part. Mm-hmm. You know, and podcasts are a little bit more, there's more production to it. You know, there's way more to it than just shooting a video on my phone and posting it to YouTube.
And don't I know it?
Oh, yeah. You and me both. But so what we try to tell them is make sure that you understand who your audience is and let's broadcast the right message with the right medium to that audience. And, you know, I worked with Jay Baer for a long time and his book Utility really, really opened my mind that let's give away as much information about what you do as possible. Like we are here, right? Let's give away all this information because they're going to remember if you help them. They're always going to remember where they got the information. And when they need more help, they're going to remember who the expert is when they're in a position to hire someone. Yeah. So we do a lot of focusing on understand your audience and understand what message resonates with your audience. Mm-hmm. Then a lot of people ask, well, I don't know what to write about. I don't know what to make videos about. So I always say, keep a notebook and write down the questions that your clients are asking you. Write down, go to conferences like WordCamp. If somebody has, you know, the guts to raise their hand and ask a question in a packed auditorium, you can be pretty sure that other people are searching for that same answer somewhere, right?
Agreed, yeah.
So keep a notebook, keep, you know, an idea thing. And if you do that, you're never going to run out of ideas to, you know, to create content around. So the things that we say is, you know, find a medium that resonates with your audience, understand the goals with your audience, keep that running list. I can't tell you about the running list, how important it is. And then the last thing is it's really easy to get busy when we do things, when we work with clients or we run our companies. Schedule content creation like any other business activity. So I have a standing meeting every day, 10 a.m. with my team. After that, I have an hour and a half of content creation. It is on my calendar that nothing can disturb me. Because if I give it the attention that it needs and deserves, it will get done. And then you'll see results.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I just bought a new calendar for next year. I used to live by a paper calendar. Like, right. Loved my paper calendar. And then I moved, finally gave it up, you know, pried it out of my hands and went to digital. And then this year I'm actually going back to a hybrid. So everything is still on my phone or whatever. But I bought a passion planner.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't really know what it was, but I've been researching calendars. I wanted something that was going to keep moving me forward in a way that wasn't just task oriented, but that was motivational, et cetera. So I bought this passion planner. Actually, you can see it open here on the back of the desk.
Right.
And I even have like post-its in it, right? So it's got places that you don't need post-its. But one of the things that I've committed to this year is sending a postcard a day to somebody. Anybody.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool. 366, because it is a leap year.
It is a leap year.
366 postcards this year to anybody who wants one. So I've posted it in different Facebook groups. I've posted it in different WordPress groups. I posted it on Twitter. And I've got, like, I think 15 or 16 people. So I've got those post-it notes are all the addresses. So I don't lose track of where this information is coming from. And that's one of the things I want to do is try to be uplifting. And every single day this year, starting January 1st, I'm posting a kindness prompt because I'm going to try to create a kindness wave in 2020. So we'll see how it goes. But having that scheduled and not like an afterthought is important.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I love the kindness. Love the kindness wave. You know, like the Dalai Lama says, you know, whenever possible, be kind. And it's always possible. And it's always possible. I absolutely love that. And I too, I work out of a tangible Moleskin notebook here on my desk, and that's where I keep everything going. But being, especially when you're working with a team, especially a dispersed workforce like you guys and like my company, You know, yeah. Like while we're all like an hour away from each other now, like we're not with each other every day. So having a shared calendar, especially when it comes to content creation, definitely, definitely helps.
Yeah, that's for sure. Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. And when you are a distributed team, I call us a hybrid. So we're semi-distributed.
Right.
Because we have 5 or 6 people that work out of the San Diego office. There's 4 of us here in the Rochester office, and then everybody else is kind of dispersed all over the place. But we're as far east as the East Coast here and as far west as India. So getting everybody on the same calendar can be challenging.
Without a doubt. I mean, that sounds like I'm glad that's a you problem and not a me problem at the moment.
I'm glad it's a Matt Cromwell problem.
I was going to say a Matt problem, sure.
And not a Michelle Prochette problem.
Yeah, without a doubt.
It's like, I got my team here. We're all good. Right. Well, let me move into what I call my rapid fire questions. Let's see what kinds of answers you have. Take as much time as you need to answer them, of course. What are 2 or 3 plugins that you would recommend to people building their own website?
So I love using Gravity Forms. It just streamlines the contact form process. I love using Backup Buddy. I've used Backup Buddy for a long time now. And if you're going to do any kind of nonprofit or donation stuff, Give is definitely my go-to one. You guys know that, all the nonprofit stuff that we do. Mm-hmm. I'll give out another one just because I guess I don't want people to think that I just said Give because it was there. Another one that I use is Yoast SEO.
Yep.
These are all the big ones that people use. Let me throw out maybe a more obscure one. If you get more into the developer stuff, okay, with Gutenberg, I know I love using the Atomic Blocks extender, you know, because it has some other functionality that you can tap into really quick. So that would be my answer.
Very cool. I will tell you that Backup Buddy and Gravity Forms were the first 2 plugins I ever bought when I started my agency when I was freelancing about 7 years ago.
Yeah, and they're fantastic. I mean, they do what they're supposed to and more very, very well. I think that's the key to any type of development is do what you say you do, do it very, very well, and then you can start charging accordingly for that.
And my lifetime subscription to Elegant Themes was the other.
Oh, okay. There you go.
At any point in your WordPress journey, have you had a mentor, whether it was an official mentor or somebody you either just looked up to or took you under their wing unofficially? And who was it?
Well, I think that, you know, there's guys like, I was very blessed coming out of Phoenix, you know, where there was a lot of great WordPress talent. You know, I think one of the first early people would be maybe Josh Strebel of Pagely, who is a friend of mine, and Chuck Reynolds, who's another friend of mine. I think that, you know, they sort of like gave me enough answers, but also let me struggle a little bit to find the answers on myself, you know, by myself. Other people that, you know, I don't want to say mentored me, but maybe that I look up to, you know, from afar would be like guys like Brian Gardner of Studio Press, or formerly of Studio Press, you know, and the Genesis framework. I've always loved what Brian does. Corey Miller, Backup Buddy, iThemes, you know, and also, you know, those two maybe a little bit outside of WordPress, those two also are very vocal in challenging the stigma about mental health and anxiety issues, which I do suffer from myself, some anxiety.
A lot of us do.
We do, and I don't think enough people talk about it. I think that Corey Miller was one of the first ones that I really saw go out there and start saying that. And another one that I've really always admired is Carrie Dills.
So, fantastic.
Yes, some of my more favorite people to pay attention to.
So my next question is, who's somebody you admire in the WordPress community and why? I'm going to make you pick at least one more that you haven't named so far.
I'd say like Brad Williams from Web Dev Studios. I think that Brad and his team, and when I say Brad, you know, Brad and his team, Lisa and everybody involved, because I like what they're doing. Although it's not right for my company, I want to say that. I really like what they're doing in pushing WordPress to the bleeding edge. To be more than just a content management system, to go more into the web app stuff, to build some big, big, big sites that people out there use every day that they don't even know that's WordPress, you know? So I love seeing what Brad and his team are doing.
And I love that Brad approaches everything very seriously, but also with a great sense of humor.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
And he's a huge sense of humor.
Yeah, local Philadelphia guy here. So also. So.
And that he still compares his child to the size of a burrito. I think that's awesome too.
A cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak. That's right.
Cheesesteak. Philly. Right. Sorry. I had Philly burritos for lunch. I had burrito for breakfast. So there you go. I'm like thinking of it all wrapped up. Yes, the cheesesteak. Yes. Sorry. Sorry, Brad, if you're listening.
We are an interesting community now, aren't we?
I think we really are.
I think that if anybody else heard this, you know, outside, not comfortable or into the WordPress world, and when you said that they compare their kid to a burrito or a cheesesteak, they would be like, what are these guys? What's going on here?
I compare mine to a cup of coffee, but she's already 27 years old. So,
oh yeah,
you know, well, she's a little bigger than a cup of coffee.
A little.
just a tad. What's something that you still want to learn in WordPress, but you haven't tackled yet?
Oh gosh. What do I want to learn? I want to learn more of the web app stuff. I'd like to learn more of that. I'd like to learn more about, you know, I still want to learn more about like how to run a really effective, efficient WordPress project. You know, a lot of times from business standpoint, things get thrown at us and we don't know how to deal with it. And it causes chaos for a moment, you know? So I think that, you know, maybe more project management skills. And I don't know if that's WordPressy, but I also think that that's also a little life related. But I think that, you know, web app stuff, how to take sites to the next level, you know, to really achieve goals and to really do some great stuff. And then also me personally would be like, not to be so reactive when it comes to project management stuff, just to be more proactive to kind of see things coming.
There you go. And you know, WordPress doesn't exist in a vacuum. So all these things are relative.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That is true.
What's one of the biggest WordPress mistakes you've ever made and what did you learn from it?
Well, I make sure that I have backups of everything now. I retold that story. I
think you did touch on that, yes. Yeah,
you know, I think that one of the big mistakes that I've made is not understanding the project completely and the scope of the project and spending too much time going down the wrong rabbit hole and using maybe the wrong approach, maybe using a wrong framework, maybe using wrong architecture, you know, sure. some of that, you know, that's one of the mistakes that I've made is going down and then all of a sudden you're 30 hours into a project and you say, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
You know, so what do you do at that point? You know, you have to go back there and regroup with your team and say, what can we salvage?
Yeah.
What is a complete, I don't want to say a complete waste. What is a complete learning opportunity that we're not going to use?
What did we pay to learn?
AKA a complete waste. But it's some of that stuff. I mean, going down the wrong path when you're on a project, and so many times, like, you know, you'll see a project and after a while, when you've done this a long time, your clients start to look like clients, you know, and projects start to resemble projects. And you can see things with real tunnel vision. And like, you know, I think that some of the mistakes that we made is not going into projects with our eyes totally open and going down the wrong path.
To go back to that horse analogy, we don't have those blinders on.
Exactly. You know, but sometimes sometimes we do. We go into it with the blinders on when they're not necessary at all.
Yeah, I guess that's what I meant is we shouldn't go into it with blinders.
And that's just one of those things. Like, the more experienced that you are, and the more ingrained you are in the WordPress community, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook groups or chats like this or WordCamps, you start to develop relationships with people that you can say, you can bounce things off of and say, I'm thinking about doing it this way. Am I totally crazy? Or what do you think? You know, and then you'll start to get some honest feedback. And then when you start to open yourself up to honest feedback like that and go into things in a little bit more of a collaborative nature, what you end up doing is you end up really opening your mind. And then the blinders are way off because now you're seeing things through other people's experience. You know, it's not even their eyes, it's their experience now.
Yeah, no, that's very true. About a month ago, maybe, I was working, I have a blog called Camping with Words, which is all about WordCamps. And it's really tailored for people who are putting on WordCamps, but also attending. So you have an idea how to do things better, perhaps. At least, you know, my idea of what better is. And so I'm trying to, you know, I've really been embracing Gutenberg. I've really been, I really don't use it for a page for the pages, but I always use it for, you know, for the blog posts or the articles, if you will. And I was like, oh my gosh, you could save a block and you can reuse it. And like, I go to Twitter, I'm like, hey, you guys, did you know you could reuse blocks? And everybody's like, where the hell have you been? Like, we've known that forever. It's one of the beautiful things about it. I'm like, but I just discovered it. And if I just discovered it, other people still have to learn it, you know?
Exactly. And then that's like, and then, you know, going back, that's where content comes in, where like you discover something and you get feedback something and you think that other people need to know that. There's a great source of your content. Yep. But yeah, it's those aha moments that we've all had. You know, whenever I speak at a conference, I always get up there and I say, don't consider me the expert. Don't consider me this. Whatever, right? I'm just further down the WordPress continuum than you are at the moment, right? And, you know, if we're both blessed to attend the same conference again the following year, I hope to see people who are in the audience come out and be the speakers.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, I love seeing fresh faces and fresh voices. You know, I think that we're all on this continuum together. It's just, where are you on it?
Well, it used to intimidate me to see people who I thought of as further down that WordPress continuum sitting in my talks. Because I was like, oh man, now these people who would like, what if I say something wrong? What if I do a misstep? And I'll tell you what, every single time, at least one of those people will come up to me afterwards and go, I didn't know this.
Yep.
I mean, they knew most of it because, you know, they may have better experience.
Right.
But, you know, even developers, I give a talk called the hidden values of WordPress, or hidden, I can't remember, features of WordPress. And one of them is, there is actually a page in WordPress in your site that you cannot get to through a link. You have to know what it is, and it's the options.php.
Right.
And I had a developer, I'm not going to name him, I'll tell you afterwards,
okay.
who came up to me afterwards and said, I didn't expect to learn anything in this because, you know, I've been doing this. I know I'm a developer, but you taught me something today.
Right.
And I was like, yes, that's my goal. Is if somebody can take something away.
And that's awesome. And you know, I've been on stage a lot and I've had the same type of person like, oh man, really? Yeah. Like, oh really? They're going to sit in my talk? Gosh, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, and it's typically, it's typically Chris Lemma. You know, he's all, for some reason, like, you know, he's just got off a stage or like he's back. I mean, you know, like one of those things, like he's there. You know, a little, and I've known him for a long time. And it's like one of those things where you're just like a little intimidated. Like, all right, here we go. Like, I'm not nervous. I'm not anxious enough. Right. Then I have somebody else that I look up to over the business acumen sitting there in front of me, you know, and it's always those things. And then, you know, at the end when they're like, oh, you did a great job, you know, things like that, you know, it's just like, we're all together in this. Although, you know, it may not seem it or feel like it, but I think that we all are in some way, shape, or form.
I agree. Nobody has ever come to a single talk I've given in order to come up, stand up at the end and go, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Even if they don't think there's anything to learn, they're there to support. So you're right. Yeah, it's
exactly.
And people can't help but they get nervous public speaking. I don't get nervous public speaking anymore. Right. I can stand up in front of, you know, the Pope and I'm not going to have a problem. But yeah, in the beginning I used to, like, what if, like, this imposter syndrome or whatever, but anyway.
It's one of those things. It's just, you know, we're all in it together. And if we keep that attitude, then I think that, you know, who knows where this whole, you know, platform and the economy and the ecosystem is.
Yeah, where it's going to go.
You know, and I think that that's the important thing. I think that a lot of times we all lose sight. We are all in it together. Even, you know, the person who, from Matt Mullenweg,
right,
the person who just installed, you know, what was the new release today? 5.3.2. No, that just came out today. You know what I mean? From Matt to the person who just discovered it, we're all in it together.
Right.
And I think that sometimes that gets lost a little bit in the middle. But I think that that's sort of the North Star of the WordPress community, that we are in it together.
Absolutely. Actually, we've went so far down a path on this one. I had to look and see what my next question was because I forgot where we were. But I'm bringing us back. That question was about your
my mistake.
biggest mistake. That's the next question is, what's your proudest WordPress moment?
Well, my proudest WordPress moment is when my team can really achieve something great for a client. You know, we did a Giving Tuesday campaign for a nonprofit here in New Jersey called Norwest Cap. And what they do is they help people get out of the cycle of poverty. So whether it's through education or financial support, financial literacy, they help them. And we, you know, they wanted to do a Giving Tuesday campaign, and we talked to them about it. We talked it through. We're able to raise close to $20,000 when it's all said and done, when their expectation was just to break even from our company to help them. So, I mean, there are moments like that. You know, I was featured a long time ago or a while ago as a WordPress developer on a podcast with John Lee Dumas at EO Fire. That was a pretty proud moment getting to talk to WordPress to his huge, huge audience.
Yeah.
Our team built a search engine for podcasts.
Oh, cool.
Before that, Apple changed all the algorithms and stuff. It was called marketingpodcasts.com. We did that with the Convince and Convert group. So we've had a lot of cool moments along the way where, you know, we were borderline bleeding edge, and, you know, we broke Word. Well, when we built the search engine, we broke WordPress like 3 or 4 times, had to put it back together. And luckily that, you know, we had a great team. I had a great team with me to do it. So those are some definitely cool moments. But I think the proudest moment is always when a client hires us and we're able to affect change in their organization and their business. Those are always the good moments.
I love that. That's great. I love to hear all the positive stuff for sure.
Yeah.
If you weren't working in content and web and, you know, anything associated with your current business, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
Well, growing up, I wanted to be the shortstop for the Yankees, but that didn't pan out, obviously. I think that I'd like to be in, it's still marketing related, but more in sports marketing related. Mm-hmm. You know, sports and fitness and, you know, a passion of mine. I'd love to have something to do more of that where, you know, again, I think it would all come back to how can I affect change with something that I enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. So I would love to be able to, you know, to continue to help people however they needed it. I never really wanted to be an astronaut or a fireman or anything like that. You know, if I wasn't going to play guitar in the Rolling Stones, be shortstop of the Yankees, I think I landed pretty well, you know, being a content creator, marketing strategist using WordPress. So
I love it. That's awesome. what's something on your bucket list?
On my bucket list. Let's see. What's on my bucket list? I'd love to start my own nonprofit for some reason. I don't know. I think that, you know, being what I do and being so lucky into having, you know, more than others, you know, when I say more to others, you know, there's food in my refrigerator, it's gas in my car, there's a roof over my head. You know, there's a family around me that loves me. You know, I would love to be able to affect change and start some, work with some nonprofit, especially around the mental health areas, or maybe some areas of addiction where, you know, you can really, where you can work with people to help them while they're not too far off the path onto the other side of things. Of course, I wouldn't be qualified if they went down the other road, but just to mentor them and mentor somebody and say, hey, it's going to be okay. I've been there too. Here you go. So that would be something that would be awesome if, you know, when in all of my free time, if I could find some good people to do that with.
There you go. And my guess is you could, if you had the time to look for them. So maybe someday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe someday.
Absolutely.
Show us or tell us about a hidden talent that you have that people in the WordPress community might not know about.
I can play harmonica.
You can.
Yeah, I play guitar and harmonica, and I've done that ever since I was little. So, but everybody, I think, you know, a lot of people know that I can play guitar, but not everybody knows I can play harmonica.
That's pretty cool. You'll have, and you don't have it there with you, so you
I don't have it here in the office, no.
Oh man.
But new talent that I just acquired is I can make good cold brew coffee.
Well, there you go.
That's brand new. That's since the summer. So I learned how to make it.
I gave my daughter a cold brew coffee maker for Christmas.
Yeah. So great.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm
such a drinking.
My magic glasses.
And the liquid's just disappearing.
And the liquid is just disappearing. Imagine that.
Funny, my tea is almost gone too.
Awesome.
How can we find you online? So Twitter, Instagram, whatever you want to share with us, your website.
So my company is Trinity Web Media, and that's trinitywebmedia.com. Our podcast is The New Marketing Show. You can get that wherever you get any podcast. I'm sure we're all in the same pod catchers there. Me personally, you can get me at GR Taylor 2 across all social media platforms. And there's not two GR Taylors. It's just I'm the second. So I thought it'd be clever. First initial, middle initial, Taylor.
Number the second. Two.
So, everybody asks, are there two of you? I'm like, no, thank God. But yeah, GR Taylor 2 or Trinity Web Media for sure.
Very good. Any final words before we bid adieu to this evening's audience?
No, I just thank you for having me, definitely. And thank you for all that you do at WordCamp, including the WordCamp US that you're on the planning committee for. And also, you know, thanks to all the people who are interested in WordPress. And I'm not talking about the business side of it. I'm talking about everybody who's interested in using it to find their voice. It's an amazing tool to make friends. It's an amazing tool to start a career and launch a sustainable career. It's an amazing tool to affect change in the world. It's an amazing tool. So if you're new, be patient with yourself. Be nice to yourself. Be patient. Yeah. Ask for help. And, you know, I think that, and stick around, because, you know, everything good happens once you stick around for a while.
Mm-hmm. Find a meetup near you, find a
absolutely
WordCamp near you, and find out that there's a lot of people like you.
Without a doubt, because there are.
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you so much, Greg, for being with me here and teaching us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing and sharing some of your insights. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
It's my pleasure. And so we'll say goodbye to everybody out there in Coffee Talk Land. Have another cup, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Excellent.